Stand with me. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. We'll read just 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. All right, let's read together this passage about the wise men. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen. I want to talk about gifts. Gifts. Amen. You may be seated. In Share Group, we focused on the journey of the wise men and the sacrifice that was involved in their extended trip, spanning 24 months and traversing from the east, whether they were in India or China or wherever they were, and making their way across the land to Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem. It was quite a journey, quite a trip. And you wouldn't think that the gifts that they packed, myrrh, frankincense, and gold. Now, gold, we can see, would have some utility, because they would have to pay their way for lodging, for food, for transportation, for food for their transportation, and just the variety of things that they would have to do. So we look at the gifts that they brought and wonder, I think I would have brought something else. But keep in mind that these were men, no doubt, who served in courts. They were probably on the staff of kings and were frequent visitors to the palace and gave their consultations and looking at the stars and how the planets would line up and all of these sorts of things. And their discussions, their society would lend them to be in the place where riches would be fairly common for them. So it's unique that they would make this trip and arrive at Jerusalem and knock on the palace door with the inquiry, where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him. And that pronouncement was not received very well by Herod. Jealousy gripped his heart even as he wanted to identify, where is he? Indeed, I want to come and worship him. A lion skunk, he wasn't going to worship. He was going to kill. And we know that that's what came as a result. But as they were at the palace of King Herod, the chief priests and scribes were able to tell the location of his birth. He will be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5 and 2 is the reference that they look back to and recognize this is how it's going to be fulfilled. But none of them arranged to make the trip from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. They sent the wise men on their way. Herod gave the instruction, return and let me know where he is so that I may come and worship him as well. They continued on their journey following that star, and the Bible says they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Their journey was almost at an end. I'm not sure the distance of Jerusalem to Bethlehem, but it was just a fraction of what they had already endured. And so they could see the end about to come. Their goal was in sight. And so they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they came to the place where he was and entered into the house, and they fell or bowed before the Christ child. Now, they didn't do this to Herod. They didn't pay homage in this way or any kind of protocol and respect to King Herod. But they did this to the Christ child. It's important to worship the right king. Important to recognize he's the one I'm going to keep as king. He's the one I'm going to maintain in my heart as king. I'm not going to put myself there. I'm not going to put anyone else there, nor anything else, whether it be a job or a sport or a hobby or whatever it might be. Amen. I'm going to worship the King of Kings. This was their focus for 2 years as they made this trip, as they made this journey. And finally, they were able to fulfill their desire to give their worship and to open their treasures. And they did open those treasures. And the surroundings, I think, were a rather humble setting. It wasn't a palace. It just come from the palace. It wasn't great courts. It wasn't beautiful gardens. I'm sure it was just a humble little home. The parents were not of royalty except by heritage from the city of David and so on. And so the setting was very poor and very humble. But when they opened their treasures and presented their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, commentators would say it signified certain things. Gold, of course, was for a king. Frankincense was symbolic of the fragrance that went up, and fragrance that was symbolic of prayer that came up before the Lord. And myrrh was looking ahead 31 years later when they would be preparing him for burial. So, significance, oh yes. But the gifts were the main thing. What they had is what they presented to him. What they possessed was what they were willing to give. And perhaps these gifts were sold by Joseph and Mary to help them escape the hand of Herod, as they were warned by the angel in a dream to depart. I'm thankful for divine messages. This whole Christmas story is full of divine messages. Angels appearing, dreams occurring, and angels imparting messages, angels singing to the shepherds, and all of it. What a great amount of divine activity that took place there because of something so powerful and so wonderful that was taking place. Praise God. And I believe that God desires to continue that kind of divine activity as we reach out to him and desire his presence in our lives and his blessings and his touch in a great way. Praise God. I know this is Thursday night, but I'm going to ask you to say amen. Praise God. All right. So Herod's horrible deed. The wise men did not return. He ordered the death of all children 2 years old and under. And what a horrible time. Again, we see how beautiful, how wonderful, how incredible all the divine activity and all the messages that were given. But what a cry, what sorrow, what grief that was there as well. A fulfillment of prophecy from Jeremiah. But oh, I cannot imagine the hurt, the pain, the grief, the sorrow, the heartache that those parents suffered when their children were grasped by Roman soldiers and the guard of the temple and however they executed them. It must have been a horrible thing. We hear of an execution that went on or an attack at a school over in Pakistan, and we are horrified at the events that went on there, 150 children and so on. But oh my, what a terrible situation here in Bethlehem. What pain and what sorrow that gripped the hearts of those parents as they lost their children 2 years old and under. What an incredible contrast to the blessings that God gives, but the sin that man commits. What a huge difference. Our world needs to recognize that today. Our world needs to understand there is sin to be saved from. There is a Savior to seek and to call upon. There is a life that can be changed, praise God, because of the blessing that the Lord would bring into our lives. So our gifts, that's what I want to talk about tonight. Our gifts that we open our treasures and give unto the Lord. And I know almost immediately, automatically, we think of funds. We think of finance. We think of money. But no, the scripture goes way beyond that. And Romans 12 is where I want to take you now for the remainder of our time. Romans 12. The apostle uses a phrase that is indicative of how strong he is feeling, the emotional appeal that he is trying to make. I beseech you, brethren. He's trying to get their attention. He's trying to help them to understand the urgency of what he's saying here. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. And I'm thankful that's what we can focus on. I know there's judgment. I know there is going to be the things coming upon the face of the earth that the book of Revelation talks about. But oh, I'm thankful we can focus on the mercy of God right now. I'm thankful we can call upon the Lord and know His mercy to minister to our lives and to our hearts. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Make a present out of what you have and what you can give to the Lord. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and that's just your reasonable service. Amen. Present yourself. Tell your neighbor that. Present yourself. Amen. That's what we're to desire to do. A living sacrifice. That's quite a misnomer there, because a sacrifice usually is involving death. A sacrifice does not leave the altar. A sacrifice is there, and death is what it meets. But the scripture here is saying, be a living sacrifice. Amen. Giving yourself to the Lord in a life that is lived for Him. Giving yourself to the Lord with a focus that means your worship, your love, your desire, your ambitions, your future, everything is wrapped up in following the Lord and desiring Him. Moreover, be holy. Let there be a change that would come to your life. Set aside the things that would make you unholy. Set aside the things that would keep you from stepping into the holiness of God. Be holy, because that is acceptable to God. Reasonable service is translated spiritual service of worship. It's also rendered your reasonable or rational and intelligent service and spiritual worship. Thank God that that's how we can determine we're going to be presented to the Lord. It's not grudgingly. It's not something that's done haphazardly. It's not something that's done flippantly or apathetically. No, we're recognizing this is my spiritual service of worship unto the Lord. He is deserving. He is worthy. And thank God, we can't present ourselves in that way. You see, Jesus is going to present the church to Himself. Amen. That He might present it to Himself, the Bible says. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But it should be holy and without blemish. Praise God. The world and the flesh and the devil are all ganged up against you to bring blemish and blame and guilt and stain into your lives. But thank God, the Lord saying, no, that's my child. No, that's the one I filled with my spirit. No, that's the one that's called by my name. You know, they took my name above every name in the waters of baptism. That one is special. Amen. And the power of His blood protects us from the onslaught of the enemy. Oh, I'm thankful that we can be part of that present. Amen. I want to be a part of that present. I want to be in that place where the Lord presents to Himself a glorious church. Praise God. Now continue on down. And Sister Bartlett, we'll need this passage on the screen, Romans 12 and 6. Because these are the gifts now that we're going to talk about. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. There are different gifts that the Lord imparts to His church, to His people. Gifts that He wants to have utilized for His glory. Just like in the parable of the talents or the pounds, whichever gospel you're looking at, there was intended to be a return on what was given. The one who had one talent, two talents, five talents, they were expected to give a return. And thankfully, the record gives the one who had five produced five more. The one who had two gained two more. But the one who was given one didn't want to lose it, didn't want to risk, didn't want to be involved. So he went and buried it so that he could return that to his master. Well, the Lord wants more than that from us. He imparts these gifts according to the grace that is given to us. And here we're going to take a look at some of those and how we can present them to the Lord. First of all, there is prophecy. Now, the Lord gives these gifts so that we can use them for His glory. It's not to, it's not for us to receive the glory. It's not for us to become grand and recognized and so on. No, it's for His glory. Amen. Prophecy, the ministry of the word, and it's according to faith in God, not faith in man. Sometimes we get a little off there and think it's the personality, think it's the one who is ministering is going to bring the results. No, it's still God that pours out the Holy Ghost. It's still the Lord that remits sin by His powerful name. Amen. It's still His word that He's going to confirm with signs following. Amen. Thank God we know there are those who are gifted in prophecy and are able to utilize the gifts that God has given them for the edifying of the church, the increase of the body of Christ, and so on. We thank the Lord for that. But be assured, my friend, if you go and teach the word of God, if you share your testimony and your witness, if you let somebody know the meaning of Acts 2:38, God can confirm that word with His signs following as well. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we recognize the gifts are prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, showing mercy, and all of these aspects that are included in this passage of Scripture. Ministry is simply serving and recognizing there's a task-oriented ministry that can be involved, and you are then devoted to serve in that capacity. And it could be something as simple as making sure the walkway has some ice melt on it and some sand so that people are not going to slip. Or if there's eventually going to be some snow, I kind of like the way it is right now, except for the slippery condition. I'm thankful we don't have to shovel a whole lot, but it's coming. I'm sure it's coming. And if it does come and there's a foot of snow out on the stairway, then grab a hold of a shovel. Amen. That's serving. Get rid of some of that snow. Clean off the ramp so that Sister Wade can have an easy access there. And all the different ways that we are involved in serving. Praise God. That is important. That's the gift that God wants to see operating within our ranks and within our lives that are a living sacrifice unto Him. Teaching. Sunday school automatically pops to mind, and God bless our Sunday school teachers. Amen. They deserve a good hand tonight for all of the effort they put forth Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Not only the lesson and the preparation and the presentation of that lesson, but all the decoration and everything that goes on with it. God bless them. We talked about Bible study and how important that is, the Bible study that you're able to share, you're able to give. And it doesn't have to be a Bible study that is got a chart or it's got a piece of paper. Those are helpful. Those are good. But if somebody just wants to open the Word of God and have an opportunity to get into the Word, you've got so much that you can share there. Amen. So much that you can talk about. Turn to John chapter 4. Tell them about the woman at the well. Turn to Romans 8 and talk about all of the powerful laws that God is going to put into effect. Turn to Hebrews 11. Talk about all the heroes of faith. There are just so many ways that you can share the Word of God. Amen. And I guarantee you, you know more than the average Christian on the peninsula or in the state of Alaska. Amen. I know you do. You've been in the house of God. You've been faithful. You've been studying. You've been reading. You've been following the bread program. You've been in the Word of God. You've heard it preached again and again. You've been in share group. You've been in refine. Whatever the aspect is in the teaching of the Word of God, you then can share that word with somebody else. Amen. And moreover, you teach by example. Amen. Somebody said, teach at all times. Use words if you have to. Amen. The example. Everybody say example. Praise God. Thank the Lord. We can be an example of what God would desire us to be and how others can change. And if the Lord did it for us, there's so many others that he can do the work for and through. If the Lord changed us, oh my, thank God for the change that he can bring to many others. So teaching, exhorting. Exhorting is not the, it's not the, you should have listened to me, or you better shape up. Exhorting is encouraging. Exhorting is edifying. Exhorting is lifting and building people up. Praise God. Thank the Lord that we can be involved in an exhortation and letting the Lord minister and use us and be blessed by as we share the Word of God and we share a testimony, we share a praise report, and we let others know God's doing great things. God's doing wonderful things. Praise God. And the Word of God is a good way to share. Praise God. And I'm thankful that we can let the Word of the Lord minister in us and through us as we reach out to others. All right, the next one is giving. And again, we know that money is a part of that, giving. But we give of our time, praying, helping others, outreach, letting people know there's a service, special service going on, and there's different things that are happening at the church and so on. Giving of our time. Time is so important. There just seems to be not enough of it to go around. But we make time. Amen. We take time to do the work of God because he's given us that gift. And it's a gift that we give back in return. All of these are aspects now are what we operate in our lives and what we see being fulfilled and what we present back to the Lord. Amen. Talent. Everybody say talent. Now, there's talent in technology. The computers and the sound system and all the different aspects that are involved. We're going to put up some video surveillance cameras, and we're going to catch the people who are messing around with our parking lot. We need your talent to be able to do that. Praise God. And the potluck. Oh, my goodness. Let me say thank you for the potluck. What an incredible time we enjoyed last Sunday, and what a wonderful food we were able to partake of. Where would we be without the cooks and those committed to cleaning and the setup and everything? My, what talent you have. And the special events, the planning, the decorating. What a beautiful display. And what a great time we enjoyed on Sunday because of people who have a talent to do that. Amen. And they spend time giving that talent, planning and decorating and so on. The music. We talk about those who have a natural musical ability, and I suppose there are those who have an aptitude for it. But I live with a musician, and I hear her practicing diligently. Doesn't come automatically. It's not something that you can just claim as being natural. She just sits down and hark the herald angels sing a real hard song, just comes flowing out. No, she practices. God bless for the practice. Brother Ricky did a tremendous job for us down in Homer. We drug him along with us so that he could play his guitar and sing. Did a great job. Amen. Four or five choruses there that he strummed away on and sang into the microphone just like he was doing it for a long time. He practices. Puts it forth. Amen. That's important. To be able to do the work of God. All of the work that goes into, all of the effort, all of the time, all of the energy. Thank God for the talent. Amen. And the maintenance. How it's continues functioning and the repair that's got to go forth. Brother Merle's got a talent for all of that. And he's getting to the point where he can't climb up the ladder as easily as he did. Some young man is going to have to come along and say, Brother Merle, I'll help you with that. Brother Merle, show me how to do that. I want to learn. Amen. That's the way it's got to be. It's got to come along that way. And as far as that goes, all the other aspects of talent are important. Amen. Don't just let Sister Sherry and Sister Bartlett do all the decorating. Some of you young ladies step up and say, I want to help. I'll do that. I'll participate. Or whatever else aspect has got to come into place. Amen. Thank God that we can be involved. Because God wants a return on the gift. He's given you this gift so that you can return that gift to Him. Praise God. Oh, yeah, treasure involves money. We go above and beyond. And somebody said, give until it hurts. No, I'm not going to give until it hurts. I'm going to give till it feels good. Amen. Because that's the way God's going to bless. God loves what kind of a giver? Cheerful giver. Praise God. Yeah. I'm thankful we can give joy, not give headaches. We can give peace and not chaos. We can give all these blessings and aspects, especially this time of the year. You ever wander around in the store this time of the year and see the concern, see the frowns, see the worry on people's face because they don't have the money to buy the gifts that they are throwing into their basket, and they're trying to check off their list of all that they've got to get and so on, and the bills are adding up, and hardly any smiles at all. I'm thankful we can give a Merry Christmas and a smile to somebody. Praise God. Amen. And let them know that there is joy at this time of the year. The Bible says, Jesus said it, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Thank God that we can give of the gifts that God has brought our way. Now, ruling, as we continue our list here, ruling is leadership. Leadership. And truly, every one of you is a leader. You're a leader in your own right. You're not a pastor. You're not a district superintendent. You're not any of those that we normally ascribe to leadership. And thank God for those leaders. But you're a leader in the sense that you're showing somebody the way. You're a leader in the sense that your attitude is going to be productive. It's going to be positive. It's not going to be negative and down in the dumps and grumpy and all of that. No, you're a leader in the sense that you're showing the blessings of God in your life. And you're leading others to the recognition that, hey, there's something better. There's something more powerful. There's something more positive. There's something that I need to grab a hold of. Praise God. A leader is going to have dreams and visions. A dream of how things can be. A vision of what God can do. And, of course, we know dreams are fulfilled if you get up and go to work. And that's what we got to do. Amen. God can bring. Thank God for a good group here tonight on Thursday night. Even with some folks missing, thank God for a good group. But it can be twice as many. Amen. We have a dream that there can be twice as many. But God's not going to bring them in here by himself. You're going to go and knock on the doors. You're going to go and invite people. You're going to go and let them know, here's a place that you can come to church and really feel a part of. Praise God. And so you're a leader in that sense. And you enable and equip others. And we understand that that the time marches on and a lot of our just look around. What's the average age here? What's the average age of this group? Everybody here together. And you probably understand that it's closer to 50 than it is 30, isn't it? More than likely. Okay, so that means we've got a lot of experience, that we've got a lot of expertise. We've got a lot of people who know a lot of things. That's good. The other side of the coin, if we can refer to it that way, is we better be passing that knowledge on to somebody else. We better be letting other people know you're involved, you're important, you need hands-on experience. Amen. And because, boy, those 10 years, 15 years go by just like that. And And if we don't have somebody who knows how to pick it up and keep going, we're in trouble. Amen. So, our young men and young ladies need to be able to grab a hold and say, I'm going to let my gift be developed. I'm going to let my gift be presented just in this way. See, the scripture tells us here that we have gifts that are different according to the grace that is given to us. Has God given you grace? Yes, he has. Are you included in the us? Yes, you are. So, there's got to come that responsibility of the gift that I can give to the Lord, that I can give to the church, that I can give to the people of God, the gift that I possess. I'm not going to just hold on to it, wrap it up, all beautiful ribbons and bows, and it looks so nice. No, I'm going to give. Open those treasures and give the gift that God has provided for me. I don't know what it is. Well, then start looking at different opportunities that are presented before you and see where you have a gift. If it's music, if it's teaching, if it's technology, if it's maintenance, if it's whatever it is, praise God. Decorating and cooking, providing wonderful meals at potluck time. Wow, so many areas that you can exercise your gift. Enable and equip. That's got to be part of it. And then the last one is showing or giving mercy. That's a gift? Yeah, it is. It really is. Because now that's involving all of them, time, talent, and treasure. When you show mercy, there's compassion. Let me give you an example. Remember who Jesus talked about when the man asked him, who's my neighbor? Smart aleck. And who's my neighbor? And the Lord told him. There was a man going down from Jerusalem to from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he got robbed, got beat up. My goodness. Might have been in St. Louis. I don't know if you ought to go to Missouri anymore, bro. I think you ought to stay home. All the terrible things that are going on in our world. Jesus told the story of a man who got beaten up and got robbed. And on the same road, there was a priest. But he didn't lend a hand. He didn't go and inquire. He didn't help. In fact, he passed on the other side. He didn't even want to get close. On the same road was a Levite. Priestly duties as well, but in a different capacity to some degree. And he passed on the other side. And then a Samaritan. I think it's very significant that the Lord called him a Samaritan, because the Jews did not get along with them. The Jews would not offer any help to a Samaritan. And for a Samaritan to offer a Jew help was a big, big point. So the Lord was making that point. He came. He treated his wounds. He put him on his donkey. He took him to the inn. He gave the innkeeper money to take care of him. And he said, if you spend any more, when I come back, I will repay you. Now, there's time, there's talent, there's treasure. All three that the man rendered. And so Jesus said, so, who was the neighbor? And the lawyer had to answer, him who showed mercy. Praise God. Oh, God, help us not to go on the other side, not to go around here and around there, but to give help. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about enabling. I better stay away from that in politically incorrect stuff. But I think you understand where I'm at. How the necessity is there for us to help and be able to give of that. Okay, here's what the apostle said. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Thank God these percussionists. Wow, what a fancy name, percussionists. Know how to make the cymbals not be just clanging, but they know how to keep the beat. They know how to fit it in well. They know how to make it harmonize with the rest of the music. Not a clanging cymbal. But someone without love sounds like that. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, that's a lot of alls. All mysteries, all knowledge, all faith. Wow. That guy ought to be honored. He ought to get the Nobel Peace Prize. He ought to get something. But he has nothing if he doesn't have love. Nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, there's that giving. And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. So, the showing mercy is motivated by love. Not just love for our fellow man, not just love for someone in need, not just love for someone who's desperately desiring compassion, but love for our Lord. Love for him. He said, you visited me. You gave me a cup of water. You provided for me. And they asked, when did that happen? When did we go and visit you? When did we give you a cup of water? We never saw you in need like that. And what did Jesus say? You've done it for the least. You've done it for me. See, that's, I'm not talking about just entering into a social gospel aspect now, but I am saying there needs to be this gift of mercy. Amen. That we give. Praise God. We give to Christmas for Christ so that there could be more families like that one. Brand new. Amen. Not many changes as far as Pentecostals teach and believe and expect. But I believe it's coming. I believe they are going to change and walk in holiness and godliness and serve the Lord. But right now they're on fire because of what God has done for them. Amen. And so we give. We give. And we desire to see the mercy of God extended to others. Hebrews 11 and 4, we'll move to Abel here as we close. Hebrews 11 and 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And we know the story of Cain and Abel. The sacrifice, the offering that was made. Cain would not identify with the blood sacrifice that was God's plan to be fulfilled in Jesus as the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. Instead, he offered a nice basket of fruit. And you go by the store and you see a nice basket of fruit all prettied up there. Remember, that was what Cain did. But Abel was the one that God was pleased with. And the Bible says he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Look at that. God testified of his gifts. God took the time to recognize that Abel offered the correct gift. Abel offered the right gift. Abel was involved in the plan of God, in the shedding of a lamb's blood, and giving that sacrifice in the right way. God testified of it. And even though Abel died at the hand of his own brother, what a terrible thing. A terrible situation, and our world has terrible things going on in it right now. But God can use your gift. God can use your sacrifice. God can use what you present and what you do and testify of it and how great and how wonderful it is. And even while, even if it is required that it outlives you, just as it outlived Abel. Dead yet speaking. Praise God. Thank the Lord that God can use what we present to him. So our sacrifice, our giving, so that our gifts live on. Amen. I believe, is what God can do, how God can use us. Our finances, yes, that's part of it. But our abilities, our talents, praise God, and our time. Time, so important. Time that you've spent here now. We've been here just over an hour. And so many things that are screaming for your attention, and your checklist is not quite done for today, and you've got more that have got to get finished up, our time. But oh, that eternal aspect of that we're going to spend with God. What an awesome thing. Praise God. Would you stand tonight? Oh, yes, the gifts that the wise men presented are commemorated and recognized and shown in the different pageants and collages that we see painted of the Christmas story. And oftentimes it's all together, you know, the manger scene, the shepherds, the star, the angels, and the wise men. It's all there. That's okay. That's not chronologically correct. But it's showing everything that's together. Don't let people mock you and say, oh, this and that. No, you take the time to explain. No, that's a collage of all that happened at this particular time. Amen. If they mock that, then they're going to mock a whole bunch of things, even in the Capitol. Because I've seen collages there of the Revolutionary War and so on. And you've seen them all in different places here. If they mock, we're going to hold up truth. Praise God. We're going to take time to give the truth of God's word. We're going to let people know that there's gifts that God wants to give. Amen. Those wise men came with their gifts. How wonderful. But how awesome it would be for them to have received the Holy Ghost as Paul was preaching in various places around the different continents. How awesome for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Incredible gifts that the Lord would provide. Thank God that we know that that's what the Lord would give us as well. Amen. So, I challenge you tonight. We're going to give to Christmas for Christ on Sunday. That's good. But let's continue to find ways that we can give all of these various gifts that the Bible talks about here in Romans 12 and 6. And certainly in verse 1, giving of ourselves as a living sacrifice. The prophecy, the ministry, the teaching, the exhorting, the giving, the leading, and showing mercy. Thank the Lord that the God can multiply those gifts as well as we present unto the Lord. Let's come for just a moment of prayer here tonight before we're dismissed. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You've given me your precious gift of time. You've been here just over an hour now in this service. Some of you here early for prayer. So about an hour and a half now. And I recognize that's a good gift. And I'm not going to just squander it. I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to understand how you favored me with that time. But now how important it is that we spend this moment in spiritual connection with the one who can multiply those gifts, the one who could make that gift become an impact in the eternal realm, the one who can testify of the gift that you've given. Praise God. Let's reach out to him together right now. Amen. Let's give him praise. Let's thank him for the gifts that he's given us. Amen. And then let's commit ourselves to give unto him, to give ourselves unto him, to give and exercise our gifts unto him. Praise God. Let's reach out to him now. Thank you, Lord God.